from the heart of the Forest City, this is a Craig Needles podcast brought to you by Lexus of London. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
Yeah, it is the Craig Needles podcast brought to you by our friends over at Lexus of London. Of course, you can find us at classicrock981.com, londonnewstoday.ca, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for downloading this episode. We are going to look at a downtown London institution today on the Craig Needles podcast. And you may be aware that this month, here in October of 2022, they are celebrating the 20th anniversary of the opening of Budweiser Gardens. It was John Labatt Center, now it's Budweiser Gardens. And I will say this, for all the hand-wringing about what is going on in downtown London, the troubles of downtown London, some of it very much legitimate, I'm not saying it isn't, but for all of that, imagine what downtown London would be like if we had not built Budweiser Gardens when we did 20 years ago. And we're going to talk about this a little bit on the Friday roundtable as well, because I'm hoping, I haven't confirmed with her, but I'm hoping my friend Cheryl Miller is going to be on the show, because I know that she was on council when there was a big discussion as to whether this was something they should go ahead and do. And she and Gord Hume were among the leading voices saying, yeah, we have to do this. And geez, did their opinions ever age well. And the opinions of the people, and we're going to talk about this with Brian Ohl in a minute, the opinions of the people saying, too many seats, too big, or we could build this out by the 401. Geez, way off base, way off base. The idea of building a rink like this out by the 401, like those people should have been laughed out of the room when they suggested it. Should have been laughed out of the room. And I think that we should look at those lessons that we learned in that debate 20 years ago and think to ourselves, hey, maybe stuff that people want to go to or places people want to live, we should build those in the downtown core as opposed to on the outreaches of the city. Perhaps a good lesson there that we could learn time and time again here in the city of London. So it is, as I said, the 20th anniversary of the opening of Budweiser Gardens. And who better to talk about that with than Brian Ohl, who, of course, is the general manager of Budweiser Gardens, courteous enough to give us a few minutes of his time here on the Craig Needles podcast today. Brian, thank you so much for doing this. Like I said, we're talking about the 20th anniversary of a massive, massive piece of the London community. I really appreciate you taking some time and talking about that with us today here on the podcast.
My pleasure, Craig. Happy to be here.
20 years. What does 20 years of Budweiser Gardens mean to you? 20 years of really one of the iconic venues in this country, in my opinion, being located right in the heart of downtown London.
Yeah, I think the communities, I know we certainly are very fortunate that Budweiser Gardens has taken a place in not just in London, but really to make a mark in the country and international on the entertainment side and nationally on the sports side with the London Knights. So we're very fortunate, and I think we've created a few memories for people here.
Yeah, I think you definitely have. I want to ask you about some of those. Yeah, let's talk about the high points over the last 20 years. So there's been multiple Memorial Cups. There's been World Figure Skating Championships. There's been some incredible concerts. Tell me about your top memories of Budweiser Gardens over the last 20 years.
Well, I think, the Memorial Cups are right up there. The 2005 Memorial Cup, and that incredible team that the Knights put together was amazing. The Junos back in 2019, they said that, we were told that, we're too small, the community's too small, yet here they came and it was, just a great week, great event. But also, some of the shows, Elton John, Bon Jovi's another one where we were told, you'd never have a chance at that show. And lo and behold, they came and did an incredible job. Our Pearl Jam shows we've done. This is some amazing shows. I still remember the very first time Guns N' Roses came, that first year, after having maybe some problems at other venues with some riots and stuff, but you know, they came, they played, and they conquered, I guess.
Yeah, they definitely did. Yeah, I was at the Pearl Jam show the year they just did the two shows. They did the show in Chicago and they did the show in London, which it was just an incredibly cool feeling to be at that show, being like, oh yeah, they're only going to do two of these. And one of them is in London, which, you know, Budweiser Gardens is a walk from my house. So I walked to a Pearl Jam show. It's going to be one of the two they're doing this summer. It was just a really, really cool feeling to be there. And just some incredible respect shown for the venue, though. That's the spot Pearl Jam picked to be.
Yeah, it was that was a definitely a special thing, and a lot of people don't realize how special that was. I mean, that they, you know, they chose London to do the rehearsals and to do a show, and as you say, you know, one of two, us in Wrigley Field, you know, that's the only place they're playing, and that's quite a testament to the community, really, because. I do know, heard some stories about some of those meetings and deciding where to go. The band, like, hey, you know, let's take a look at London. So they obviously thought highly of the community.
Yeah, I definitely did. So let's talk about what the future may look like for Budweiser Gardens here, because it's a venue that, as we know, is 20 years old, and sometimes venues age a certain way. Now, some improvements have been made to Budweiser Gardens since it's been open, but what do you think the future looks like for the venue right now?
Well, I think we've done a fairly good job of keeping the building up to date, you know, through normal means, but we are looking at, we've been talking about this for a little while, trying to look at some renovations and maybe a little bit of an expansion to some spaces in the building. We are still looking at that, you know, hoping that, you know, that I, you know, we've had good indications from the city at times, and we're kind of moving toward that direction, that we're going to be presenting something to the city on.
Well, yeah, that's
just that.
That's exciting. And obviously you wonder, okay, what more space could there be? And do you want to increase the capacity and things along those lines? Is that what's potentially being discussed? Is more seats, or be more sort of back stuff, things that, you know, ticket holding spectators would or wouldn't see? What kind of things are you thinking about?
Well, you know, I mean, a couple of things. One, you know, the building, it's 20 years old, and you look at the new venues that are being built today, and you know, all the bells and whistles and experience for the fan, and we want to add some of that. We not really necessarily looking at adding seats. I think the size of the venue is the right size for the market and for the team. But you know, maybe some enhancements for the events that come in, which is something that you see at venues now, that they're being built a little more. Space for them, and also some, like I say, some enhancements for the enjoyment for the fans. So that's kind of what we're focusing at, and generally, you know, just kind of a little bit of a facelift inside.
Sure. Yeah. And you know, I think all buildings, once they get to a certain age, need, you know, some upkeep and things along those lines. And like we said, some of that stuff's already happened at Budweiser Gardens. Are there any sort of big events or big shows that perhaps Budweiser Gardens hasn't had yet that you're thinking, all right, I really think it'd be cool if we could do this, or I'd really love to do that? Is there sort of like a wish list you might have, Brian?
Oh, I've got a wish list, but I'm also very superstitious. And I don't like to mention them. One of my favorite artists, though, I will say this, is Bruce Springsteen. And we came close once, but that's always one of my personal favorites. Not sure that that'll happen, but, you know, it doesn't mean we won't keep trying. And there's just a whole range of artists out there that, you know, that's the thing, is we do some upgrades to make the place a little bit more attractive. On the back, we call it back of house stuff for those artists, that maybe that's the thing that might get us something that, when you do the math in terms of the number of seats and ticket prices, you know, they're better off playing somewhere else. But there's certainly lots of things that make London appealing, and we're going to keep pushing that way.
Incredible. You mentioned Bruce Springsteen, my favorite artist of all time. I'm going to see him in Cleveland in April. I got very lucky to get tickets as part of this tour. You could not imagine how I would, I'd probably have an emotional meltdown if Bruce Springsteen was playing at Budweiser Gardens. So yes, please continue to keep trying for that one.
I'm going to tell you, he's my favorite as well. And I would have that, you know, we came close. So probably, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. I'll tell you that, We were close to like announcing going on sale, and then unfortunately, one of his kids had some function, might have been his daughter with her horses or something like that. So he decided he wasn't going to tour during that period of time. And oh man, I was in a funk for a little while.
Yeah, I can imagine now. I'm in a funk hearing that and thinking to myself, oh man, that would have been so cool. But so yeah, that's definitely something to pursue, and I hope it works out. Want to ask you as well about from a sports perspective. I think that some people in the community sort of see the World Junior Hockey Championships as London's kind of white whale, and we've had all these incredible events here, but we haven't really been able to land that before. Is that something that that you think about, or the hockey stuff? Is that kind of harder to nail down from the perspective of somebody who does your job? Where you stand on the World Juniors coming to London, possibly?
Well, with the World Juniors, I mean Hockey Canada has always said, well, I shouldn't say always, that, you know, in the last number of years, they said that they want to go to smaller venues. This, that. We've put in bids and then have come up short. The one for December is a little bit of an anomaly because it's a short time, turnaround time. But, the, you know, they've still keep going to the bigger venues. So, you know, we're hopeful that someday that they will realize that they need to return the World Juniors to the junior communities, places that support them, you know, every day and every week. And once they do that, I think we'll get a fair shot.
Yeah, I hope that happens too, because, you know, and I'm sure you've seen the same thing I have, where you watch sometimes a tournament, and I think the summer example in Edmonton, you can kind of throw that out, but you watch the tournament in, you know, some of the NHL-sized ranks, and the games that Canada's not playing in, the place is almost empty, and and even the games Canada's playing in, sometimes they're not selling the place out, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, maybe this is a tournament that it's better off when it's in Canada, where it's a rink with 9,000 fans as opposed to a rink with 19,000, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And we've heard that from them for, you know, a number of years, but they, when it comes down to it, it's like, you know, it's a math problem, number of seats, potential seats and tickets, you know, and the ticket prices, it's hard to turn down that potential dollars, because, you know, those NHL arenas, you know, they're twice the size as we are. So they could potentially make us twice as much money. But I think eventually they're gonna actually pull the trigger and go back to where the support for junior hockey is, and that's communities like London.
Yeah, no, I would agree. You know how much money they make off an empty seat? $0. In fact, it costs them money, right?
Yep.
So there you go. Before we wrap up, Brian, want to ask you about. You know, the meaning of Budweiser Gardens in the community, because it may seem hard to believe, and I think the people that are new to London may not realize this, but it was a controversial decision as to whether we were going to build a hockey rink in downtown London that could also host concerts and bring events to the community. There are people that said, oh no, it should be 4,000 seats, not 9,000 seats. If you look back on 20 years of history of Budweiser Gardens, what do you think of when you look back on those conversations saying, hey, do we really need a 9,000 seat hockey rink in downtown London? Those takes have aged poorly, I think we can say.
Yeah, you know, I've always said that. Back in, you know, 99 and 2000, it took, I think, a courageous council to make those decisions, because there was a lot of people, you know, okay, we don't need a venue. We don't, you say the size is all wrong, too big, the location's bad, you know, all these negative things. And 20 years later, those councils, and there's two councils that actually voted on it, I think they were proven right, that they had the foresight and the vision to go ahead, and even though it wasn't a unanimous they had the vision to do that, and I'm so thankful that they did.
Yeah, I'm incredibly thankful they did too. Just the city and the community is so much better off for it. Like we're so much better off in so many different ways. And you're right, it showed a lot of vision, showed a lot of leadership, and it's gone incredibly well. Anything else you want to add about the 20th anniversary of Budweiser Gardens before we wrap up here, Brian? Any stories related to what things that have happened there? You know, goals for the future, things like that.
Well, like I said, for the goals for the future, we are. You know, we hit it hard trying to get the, sometimes we've been accused of kind of, punching above our weight in terms of some of the shows we have, and we're going to continue to do that. But we do a lot of shows that, you know, typically play venues this size, but then we, like I said, we do some that don't, they play bigger venues. We're going to continue that, try to bring, great entertainment and create great memories for the people of London and the community, because you know, this is their venue, and we feel very honored to have given the right to safeguard that asset for them.
Yeah, and I think it's very fair to say it's an arrangement that has worked out very well for both sides, both from the Global Spectrum perspective and from the City of London's perspective. I think everyone has done very well from this and has gotten what they want out of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Brian, thank you so much for this. Thank you so much for the conversation. I really appreciate you having with me, and I'm glad you could spend a couple minutes to talk about Budweiser Gardens with me. Thank you for doing it.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Craig. Appreciate it.
That's Brian Ohl, General Manager of Budweiser Gardens, joining us here on the Craig Needles Podcast, which I will remind you is brought to you by our friends over at Lexus of London. Lifestyle with a drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at Lexus of London. Luxury redefined. Choose yours today at the award-winning Lexus of London, 1065 Warncliffe Road South, and online at lexusoflondon.com. You know, I look at the Budweiser Gardens conversation, and we were just talking about that, and we're going to chat about it on Friday as well, but I do think that there are some lessons here going forward, which is build stuff close to where other stuff already is. You know, I think that is a lesson that we can take from that, and think bigger rather than smaller. Could you imagine if they had just said in 2000, hey, let's make Budweiser Gardens 4,000 seats? Think about all the cool events and shows we would have missed out on. Would the World Figure Skating Championships have ever come to London if Budweiser Gardens was 4,000 seats? No way. Would London have had two Memorial Cups over the last 20 years? No chance. Maybe one. But there's no chance they would have had two. Not with a 4,000-seat rink or a 5,000-seat rink. Would Pearl Jam have ever come to London if we had a 4,000 seat concert setting? Foo Fighters, would they have come to London? Would the Tragically Hip have come to London during their final tour if that was the size of the venue? Maybe. Maybe all those things would have happened, but guess what? I think it's unlikely. So think bigger usually winds up being right. Thinking for something that perhaps is a little bit outsized compared to what you need now, oftentimes, you might wind up being right. Remember, there was talk about having curtains around the top level at Budweiser Gardens because they wouldn't be selling night's tickets for the top level. That, of course, has never happened. They sell plenty of tickets up there. I was at the game on Friday night. Sold out. Or close to it. Maybe not exactly sold out, but there weren't a lot of empty seats around. Put it that way. Weren't a lot of empty seats. So I think to myself, after 20 years of having Budweiser Gardens here, and when you compare it to other decisions the city has made in that 20-year span, maybe we could have thought bigger and designed bigger. Could we have put together a rail transit plan as opposed to a bus rapid transit plan? I know, this number or that number didn't support it. But I think there are a lot of people who would have taken a light rail vehicle to work that would not take a bus to work. Sorry, but it's true. And you look at some of the other big conversations we've had over the years as far as where could we have this big development or that big conversation about this large thing that we may want to build in London. You know the examples. And I think the lesson from Budweiser Gardens is think bigger and it'll work out. And could anything have ever worked out possibly as well as Budweiser Gardens has? The answer is quite simply no. No, it couldn't have. So I think that is a lesson that we can take from the success of Budweiser Gardens, which, again, has been nearly unparalleled. And I think that the folks at Global Spectrum get a lot of credit for that. The folks at the City of London get a lot of credit for that, as they should. And the people who are going to Knights games every Friday, they get some credit for that too. The people who are buying concert tickets, they get some credit for that too. There's a lot of reasons to be very happy with the success of Budweiser Gardens. All right, let's wrap up this shorter than normal edition of the Craig Needles podcast, but we are up against the clock for Friday reasons. We'll have perhaps a longer than normal Friday roundtable coming up at the end of the week. I hope that Cheryl Miller is going to be able to be here to be with us because I do want to ask about the Budweiser Garden situation. I know for sure that political insider Shobhita Sharma is going to be here, as will Jesse Roger, who is the executive director of Inova, to talk about the issues of the week. So we'll get some election stuff in there and all sorts of other fun stuff. So that's coming up on the Craig Needles podcast, the Friday roundtable at the end of the week. Once again, the Craig Needles podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Lexus of London. Lifestyle with a drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at Lexus of London. Luxury redefined. Choose yours today at the award-winning Lexus of London, 1065 Warncliffe Road South, and online at lexusoflondon.com. Find more of the Craig Needles podcast at classicrock981.com and londonnewstoday.ca.
The Craig Needles podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.